Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with ABCs of Christian Growth Study on audio, and thank you for listening in. I appreciate all of y'all that are taking the time and think enough of these recordings to take time out of your day and sit down and listen to God's Word and listen to it being taught, and especially with me doing it. But I admire you, and I have the utmost respect for you that you are on purpose listening to the Word of God, and I hope that you're not one of the ones that are sitting there, and I know that the majority of you aren't, but that you're not sitting there and you're looking for something to try to prove the Lord wrong. Or to try to mock the Lord. Let me tell you right now, you're wasting your time, because the only thing that the Bible says, the Scripture cannot be broken, and you can't mock the Lord. You can't make a fool out of Him, and like I said, I don't believe that there's anybody that's doing such a thing, but I want you to know that I admire you and I appreciate you. So, moving right along, we're talking about the letter G and talking about God, and particularly our God, not any of the gods of the world. They're not worth talking about, not even worth thinking about or giving any time, any thought time to or anything. The letter G is for God, and we have talked about a few different categories concerning this study so far. Two studies ago, we talked about who made God. Who made God? The Bible says those that come unto Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And I pray that you've been reading over those scriptures that I've been giving you at the end of these studies. And the last study, we went into how do we know that there is a God. We talked about several different things concerning that. And we decided that nobody can, God's not, if the Lord wanted to prove that He was, He could do it, couldn't He? He could just come down here, present Himself, which He already did in the body of Jesus Christ, which He did. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Bible says, and He did present Himself down here. But what'd they do? They denied Him, didn't believe in Him, and killed Him. But Jesus left something. He left the body of Christ down here, and it's been going on ever since. And you can't stop it. Isn't that wonderful? And guess what? The Lord saved us and allowed us to be part of His family. And what an honor and what a privilege it is. The Lord said that He is not ashamed to be our God. Let us not be ashamed to be His sons and be in His family. And let us not be ashamed of Him at all. We talked about but one thing that the Bible does teach and nature teaches, and one thing that we can learn when we talk about how we can know that there is a God, what we're talking about is not like the world says you can know, as in proof. We're talking about know as in that's what I believe, and that's what I believe to be doctrine, and that's what I believe to be truth. That's what I choose to believe. Okay, how do we know that there is a God? Well, the fact of universal belief proves that there's a God. The fact that everything must have a cause proves that there's a God. The fact of intricate design in the universe we talked about proves that there's a God. The whole creation proves that there's a God. They got that Hubble Space Telescope, and they're looking out there and just keep looking farther and farther, and they're never going to admit that they're looking for God out there. That's what they're doing. Who in their right mind would put a telescope in space to look out there and just to look at the galaxies and everything else and think that's not what they're interested in? They're looking out there to see if God's telling the truth and trying to find something to where they can get one over on the Lord. But the Lord's sitting back. He said, I'll laugh at them. The Lord's sitting back and said, I'll laugh at them. Now, I like them pretty galaxies and all those things that thing brings pictures back of, but I already knew it was all out there. I just didn't know what it looked like yet, didn't you? That's one thing that's wonderful about having our God. He says, "I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things God hath prepared for them that love him." You know, on our journey, when we leave this body, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, we leave this body. Our journey going to be with the Lord is going to be so fantastic at what we see, what we start seeing when we leave this body. Can you imagine? It's going to be wonderful. But the whole creation proves that there's a God. The events of history prove that there's a God. The Bible says that there is a God. That there's a God. That there is a God. The God. The specific God. The particular God. And He's a jealous God. He don't want nobody else putting any other kind of gods before Him. Or any, as a matter of fact, having any other kind of gods. And we shouldn't. He's jealous about that, and I'm glad He's jealous about it. I'm glad God's jealous over us, aren't you? Today, we're going to talk about a category about how many gods are there. What does the Bible say? We want to know what the Bible says. That's what we want to know. We don't want to know about man's opinion or about philosophy or about science. We got the only science book there is, and it's called the Bible. The Bible is the only scientific book there is. But how many gods are there? What does the Bible say? Okay, well, we're gonna do this kind of. It's gonna be kind of a. Strange, I don't know, I don't want to say strange kind of lesson, but I have over 100 different things I'm going to read to you, and I was thinking about just reading a few of them to you, but I want to give them all to you to really convince you about this study that we're going to study about today, about how many gods are there. And I want to give you the material so that you'll be thoroughly convinced that is the way it is. And you'll understand what I'm talking about as soon as we get to going in it. But it might be kind of monotonous or might be kind of repetitious or whatever you want to call it. You'll see what I'm talking about. But just listen to this stuff that I'm telling you. And it's going to be a blessing to you when it's all over. But how many gods are there? Well, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." One Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 5, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me." The Bible says, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me," in Isaiah there. In 1 Timothy in the New Testament, chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." The man Christ Jesus. So according to those scriptures right there and what we've read and what the Bible says, how many gods are there? There is only one God. There's only one God. Now, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what the newspaper say. It doesn't matter what the entertainment. It does not matter. What does the Bible say? Because that is what people are going to end up being judged by. The Lord Jesus said the very words that He spoke was going to judge them in the end. And it's going to judge us. So, as Christians and as Bible believers, what are we to believe? How many gods are there? There's only one God. Okay, well, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, there's a peculiarity. There's a something that's happening here. The Bible has just tried to contradict itself according to a lot of religions that are in the world today. It says it's there one God. It very distinctly said that there was one God. But now it's telling us that there's three different gods. It said in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. It said to go and preach and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Notice the word "thee" used before each one of them. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All of them being particular, all of them being specific, all of them being separate from one and the other. Okay, well, does that mean that there's three gods now? What are we talking about? Well, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." What? Man, that'd blow the top of your head off, won't it? But the Lord didn't say that we are to understand it. You can't understand that. Now, that is what is known in the Scriptures is called the Trinity. Called the Trinity. And the Bible teaches that there is one God. We just read it. Did you hear it? 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." Now, all we got to do is believe that, and it's easy. Once you decide that you're going to believe it, believe what the Bible says about the Lord and what He is, and it's easy, and it comes easy. There's nothing hard or difficult about it. This one God eternally, equally, and essentially exists as three persons. He exists as the Father. He exists as the Son. And He exists as the Holy Ghost. Now, this is what is known as the doctrine. Remember, we talked about we're going to study the ABCs, and we're going to get into some doctrine in the Scriptures of what the ABCs of what Christians ought to know about the Bible. Okay, well, one thing, one doctrine that Christians ought to know and to understand and to believe is that their God is three in one. And one in three, and the one in the middle died for me. It's known as the Trinity. The Bible teaches that there is one God, but three persons in the Godhead. In the Godhead. Now, these are scriptural words, the Godhead and Trinity. These are scriptural words, and while we cannot comprehend these things, and you can't, we're human beings and we think. The Bible says, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The Lord said, "That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit." And it says that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. An unsaved man cannot understand these things because these are spiritually discerned things. We have to understand what the Bible tells us. In the Spirit, we commune with the Word of God spiritually. We understand the things of God through the Spirit. Those that come unto Him must believe that He is. God is a Spirit, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But we're talking about how many gods are there. Well, there's one God, and it's one God that exists in three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, and these three are one, and they are three in the Godhead, which is called the Trinity. Now, Dr. Talmage once told a story of how when he was a young man, he was inclined to be rather skeptical. And one day after he was asked, he asked an old minister, why this and how this and why that, and the old man replied to him and said, "Talmage, you must let the Almighty God know some things that you don't know." He acted on the advice and trusted the preacher, and he preached to thousands because he figured out that truth. And that's the same thing that you and I have to do. We have to trust God that He knows more than we know, and whether we understand the matter or not, and there's going to be more than just the Godhead that we don't quite, that it's not that we don't understand it, it's that bring it into focus like we would like to. Because you can't bring the Trinity into focus. One God in three persons, three different individual persons that exist, and they're made up of one God? How do you bring that into focus? You can't. But you believe it, and you trust it, and you trust that God's telling us the truth, and that He knows more than we know. And that's what makes it easy. Okay, now, what I said a while ago about reading you some things, the Lord is the Creator. You agree with that? He is our Creator. He's the Creator of all things. Now, I'm going to, how many gods are there? Well, according to the scriptures of what we have read already, how many gods are there? There's one God. Now, how is this God, how does this God exist? He exists in three persons. He exists as the Father, He exists as the Son, and He exists as God the Holy Ghost. Okay, and in the Godhead. Okay, and this is what is referred to as the Trinity. Now, what does that tell us? Well, now we'll stop right there, and we'll believe that this is one. Our God is one God, and He exists in these three persons that the Bible tells us about and distinctly talks about and teaches us about each individual. The Bible teaches us about the Father in the Scriptures. It teaches us about the Son in the Scriptures, and it teaches us about God the Holy Ghost in the Scriptures. It talks about them as one, and it talks about them individually, and it also talks about them together as the Father and the Son, as the Son and the Holy Ghost, and as the Holy Ghost and the Father, and as the Son and the Father. It talks about all of them in every way possible in the Godhead. Our one God, the God that saved us, the God that has given us eternal life, the one that we have in our heart dwelling in us right now, in our bodies, and the one that is sitting at the right hand of the Father up there, and the Father that is in heaven, they're all one. And they all exist in three persons. And they are all the same God. Okay? So knowing all that, then we're going to look at some other things. And God being the Creator, it is evident that the Lord created things and left His thumbprint and left His left the thumbprint of His Trinity on His creation. And you're going to see what I mean when I start reading these things. What I'm going to do next is I'm just going to start reading some things that are made up of three. And anything that is created that is complete is made up of three. And you're going to see that. The Lord has left His thumbprint. The Bible says nature itself does teach us that God is. Nature itself teaches us that God is and teaches us about the Lord. Okay, and you're going to see that. And you're going to see that the Lord has left His thumbprint of the Godhead, of the Trinity, on everything that there is. Anything that is real and anything that is complete is made up of three. So let's go into that, and let me just give you some examples of that. And I'm going to read every one of these things because I want you to see that I want you to be thoroughly convinced that your God is telling you the truth, even though you believe Him right now, and I know you do. But I want to give you some confidence today. Now, let's just take a say where you're sitting right there, and say you got a glass of water sitting there. Just imagine that. You got a glass of water sitting there, all right? And you got the liquid water in there. And then before you came and sat down, you decided you wanted a couple chunks of ice in there. So you got you some ice cubes, and you put them in that water, in that glass, and it's sitting there. But it was real, real cold. You know how ice can get so cold that it gets sticky on your fingers, and it'll stick on your fingers? Well, about that time, when it's sticking on your fingers and you open that freezer, you see some vapor coming out. You know, that cloud that comes out of your freezer when you open it up? Well, there's an example of a Trinity right there. You probably already thought of it before I even brought it up. You have, you can see that there is one essence. It's called H2O. It's called water. But it's evident, and it exists in three distinct phases. Each phase may exist separately or with another, or all together. You say, I don't understand the Godhead, how God is one, but you got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Well, you understand H2O, you understand water. You got a glass of water sitting there, and you have liquid water. That's liquid H2O. You have ice in it. That is called ice, and that is solid H2O. And then when you open that freezer and you've seen all that cloud of gas, H2O, coming out, that was still water too. So you have a trinity, three, existing in three different phases, but all one. So it is right before your eyes, and it is evident. Anything in creation that is complete is made up of three, because God is three in one, and He has left His thumbprint on nature and creation. And let me share some of that with you, okay? The Trinity is the fundamental basic Bible fact of the universe. It is very, very, very important, and a very, very important doctrine to the Christian and from your Bible. The first basic fundamental fact of reality is that God is a Trinity, and anything that is real that God has to do with is composed of three parts. If it is reality, it is a three-part breakdown. You'll find nothing in the world that is complete that does not bear the mark of the Trinity. Now, for the next little bit, I'm going to read these things to you, and I'm just going to go through them, and I want you to sit back and enjoy them. And some of them you probably already know, and some of them are going to be funny, and some of them might even be foolish to you. But I want to show you that the Bible, your God, has left His thumbprint right before your eyes. You ready? Okay, well, let's start. How about the Three Musketeers? The Three Stooges, the Three Marx Brothers, the Three Wise Monkeys, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, three? You getting it? The Three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. How about man has three names, a first name, a middle name, and a last name? How come man uses acronyms like NRS? N-R-A, L-S-D, T-W-A, I-C-C, I-R-S, N-C-C, C-C-C, F-C-C, F-F-A, and on and on and on. How come three? How come not four? How come three? Because God is three. The three gifts of the wise man in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw a young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three. The three arks in the Bible, Noah's, Moses's, and the Ark of the Covenant. That's Exodus chapter 2 and verse 3. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. Of course, that was Moses. Remember that? In the ark that he was in. And then also we see the Ark of the Covenant, and we've seen Noah's Ark. Three arks in the Bible. The Godhead as three rocks. The Father is found as a rock in Deuteronomy 32:15. The Bible says, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." We see the Son is called the rock in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," Jesus pointing to himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus is the rock. Then we see God the Holy Ghost being the water out of the rock. Remember 1 Corinthians 10:4? The Bible said, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So we see the Godhead as three rocks. We see Christ as three seeds: Abraham's seed, David's seed, and the woman's seed. We see three likenesses of Abraham's seed. They were like the stars of heaven. They were like the sand of the sea, of the seashore, and they were like the dust, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 13, verse 3. We see the three applications of the Old Testament sacrifices: the individual, the family, and the nation. We see three in the Father conflicts with the world, the Son conflicts with the devil, and the Holy Ghost conflicts with the flesh. We see the Old Testament reveals the Father, the Gospels reveal the Son, and the Acts and the Epistles reveal the Holy Ghost. We see three of five in the New Testament: Matthew through Acts, Philemon through 2 Peter, and 1 John through Revelation. Three. We see three sets of five in the Old Testament: Genesis through Deuteronomy, Job through Song of Solomon, and Isaiah through Daniel. We see three sets of 12 in the entire Bible: Joshua through Esther, Hosea through Malachi, and Romans through Titus. And then we also see three in literature: Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol, Marley's Ghost tells Ebenezer Scrooge he will receive three visits by three spirits: Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. How about that? We see three in public speaking. Uses three phases known as claptraps. Some of you speakers might know about that. We see three when Martin Luther King, when he was speaking, he said, insult, injustice, and exploitation, and justice, goodwill, and brotherhood. By threes. George Wallace used threes when he spoke. He said, segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever. How come three instead of four, or maybe two? How come three? We see three in law. The law of three echoes is what it's called. We see it in documents. It says, I give, devise, and bequeath. That's on a will. Three. We see it in oaths. The truth, the whole truth, and how's it go? Nothing but the truth. Three. You see the Trinity, the thumbprint of the Lord everywhere. We see three in the law of thought: law of identity, law of non-contradiction, and the law of exclude middle. We see three in images, painting, and photography. It's called the rule of thirds. And you painters in photography don't think that I know anything about it. I just happened up on this, and I thought it was pretty neat to where a painter or a photographer, they will take a picture and they'll put a hash mark on it and break it into threes to look at it. Three. We see three in writing. The rule of three is what it's called. It's called the triad. It's called the tripartite motto. For instance, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the Declaration of Independence. Stop, look, and listen from the public safety slogan. Faster, higher, and stronger, the Olympic motto. Three. Stop, drop, and roll, fire safety motto. That's three. On your mark. Yeah, you got it, didn't you? Three. Get set, go. There's three in comedy. It's called the comedy triple. For instance, the blonde, brunette, and redhead. Or the Englishman, Irishman, and Scotsman. Three. There's three in fairy tales. Rumpelstiltskin, remember that? Lets her guess his name how many times? 3 times in 3 days. Snow White gets 3 visits from her wicked stepmother. 3. Isn't that interesting? How about the 3 French hens? 3 sheets in the wind? 3 piece suits? 3 blind mice? 3 feet in a yard? 3-dimensional? 3-legged race? 3-ring circus? 3 little pigs? Rock, paper, and scissors. How long has it been since you played that? The Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria? 3. Tricycle with 3 wheels or tires? A triangle, the strongest geometric shape? How about for you nature nuts? Here's some 3s. God's left his imprint of his Trinity in nature. The electron charge is 3 times the down quark charge. And I have absolutely no idea what that means, but for you guys that know it, there you go. 3. 3 main properties of subatomic particles. Charge, mass, and spin. 3 different values of spin for particles. 0, 1/2, and 1 at the lowest spin. 3 types of electrical charges in particles. Positive, negative, and neutral. 3 types of massive bosons. 3 types of neutrinos. 3 subatomic forces. 3 main types of stable particles, proton, neutron, and electron. 3 quarks in a proton. 3 quarks in a neutron. 3 main types of massive objects, galaxies, stars, and planets. 3 main types of matter, solid, gas, and a liquid. 3 dimensions of space. 3 main types of galaxies. 3 types of color charge. 3 generations of quarks. 3 generations of leptons. Whew. Man, I'm glad that's over because I didn't know anything about any of that. But 3. I know it's in 3s. Our God is a Trinity. He is a Godhead. He's 3 in 1 and 1 in 3. Listen to this. 3 in the skin. Dermis, epidermis, hypodermis. 3 bones in the ear. The hammer, anvil, and stirrup. There's 3 in physics. Time, mass, and length. There's 3 heavens. It's called the firmament, space, and the place where God dwells, paradise. There's 3 offices in a church. Deacon, bishop, and the elder or the pastor. There's 3 in a tabernacle. The outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. There's 3 in the holy place. Candlestick, altar of incense, and the table of showbread. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Man is made up of 3. The soul, the body, and the spirit. He is also the person, the nature, and the personality. He is also childhood, manhood, and maturity. 3. The family is made up of 3. Man, woman, and child. Problems are made up of 3. Mental, emotional, and physical. Reality is made up of 3. Space, matter, and time. Space is made up of 3. Length, width, and depth. Time is made up of 3. Past, present, and future. Energy is made up of 3. Source, generation, and procession. Matter is made up of 3. Liquid, solid, and gas. Hold on, let me take a breath. Okay. Military is made up of 3. Navy, Army, and Air Force. Don't you Marines get mad about that. Kingdoms are made up of 3. Animal, vegetable, and mineral. Continents are 3. Asia, Europe, and Africa. The Americas are 3. North, Central, and South. 3. Are you a believer yet? Education is made up of 3. Grammar, middle, and high school. And then college, junior college, college, and postgraduate. Location is made up of three: land, sea, and air. Astronomy, sun, moon, and stars. Answers, yes, no, and maybe. Atmosphere, ionosphere, stratosphere, and exosphere. Height, top, middle, and the bottom. Weight, light, medium, and heavy. Music, harmony, rhythm, and melody. Three, musical notes, pitch, volume, and duration. In art, there's three, perspective, composition, and form. In color, there's three. You have chrome, hue, and value. History, ancient, medieval, and modern. Religions are three, Hinduism, Mohammedism, and Buddhism. Catholicism, Protestantism, and Greek Orthodox. The church offices are bishop, elder, and deacon. The races, Ham, Sham, and Japheth, Caucasian, Negroid, and Oriental. The Bible languages are Hebrew, Syriac, or Aramaic, and Greek. The Bible writers are the fathers, the prophets, and the apostles. The Old Testament is the law, the prophets, and the writings, or the Psalms. The New Testament is the gospel, Acts, and epistles. Three in one. Systems, Catholicism, communism, and capitalism. Interpretations, historical, spiritual, and doctrinal. Conditions, lost, saved, and Savior. Eternity is hell, earth, and heaven. The Mount of Transfiguration, there was Peter, James, and John, and there was three others: Moses, Christ, and Elijah. Logic, major premise, minor premise, and conclusion. In electricity, there's three: positive, negative, and neutral. In actions, there are three: thought, word, and deed. And there's three more: motive, act, and consequence. In learning, there are three: association, contrast, and repetition. I'm sure all of y'all have been touched in some way of three so far, haven't you? You should have been. Positions on issues: for, against, or abstain. Bodily systems: you have the nervous system, the circulatory system, and the skeletal system. Upper organs are heart, brain, and lungs. Lower organs in the body: liver, bladder, and the kidneys. The digestive system: stomach, intestines, and excretory system. In a football, you have three: the outer skin, the bladder, and the air. There are three hells: hell, the lake of fire, and the bottomless pit. There's three in a tree: crowns, trunks, and roots. There's three parts of the sun: the sun interior, the solar atmosphere, and the visible surface. And then the sun's interior has three: the core, the radiative zone, and the convective zone. Whew. I think that's about 100. Can you see that? Isn't that tremendous? Three in one. Our God has left his fingerprint, and anything that's reality or anything that's real and anything that is complete is made up of three. You see God everywhere. He's left the evidence of his triune Godhead in everything. So you can see how important the doctrine of the Trinity is to the Bible believer. Our God is the only God that is not ashamed to put his mark on everything so that the man is without excuse. How a person can come to the conclusion in their mind that God has not revealed himself to man is a joke. He is everywhere. But when it comes to believing what God has said in his word about his person and the Trinity, he is without a doubt who he says he is. We should not let anything or anybody deter us from believing the book. The Trinity is one doctrine that separates our God from all other fake gods in this world. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 53 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. The Bible says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You see, we don't have to understand, we don't have to have it in focus. The Lord has given us enough evidence on His fingerprints and His fingerprint of His Trinity and His Godhead all over the place. We just read 100 of them, and you should be impressed. I am, and you probably could sit there and write a list out yourself of some things that you know are made up of three. And how come that is? Just the 100 that we've seen already. How come that is? How come it's three? Because our God made it that way. And He wanted you to see Him. And He wanted you to believe. So, there we go. We're going to stop right there. I just wanted to show you that part. Now you know what I was talking about reading those to you. And I hope you enjoyed them, because I do. I do. And anything that can encourage us and let us know and help us to believe and to have confidence in our Lord. How many gods are there? There's one God and three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Amen. All right, well, let me give you the scriptures for today. And you got your pencil? Okay. How many gods are there? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Exodus chapter 2, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. Genesis chapter 22, verse 17. Genesis chapter 13, verse 16. Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. And last is Psalm chapter 53, verse 1. All of these are under and in order to our lesson that we just had. And a lot of those scriptures go right along with the evidence that I was giving you that I read out in the threes and stuff like that. Right at the beginning of the threes, when we was talking about the three musketeers and then going down through the acronyms and stuff like that. Like the Godhead as three rocks and Christ as three seas. There's a lot of those scriptures that line up with those threes. So you can look, it'll come to you. And you just look over those scriptures and you have it on recording right now, but if you'd like these, like I told you before, if you'd like all this on the paperwork where you can just sit down and have it in your lap and look at it, all you gotta do is email me and I'll send it right to you. It's all written down and in order, and it's good stuff. It's good stuff. The ABCs of Christian growth we've talked about so far in this study of G, which is God. Who made God? We've talked about how do we know that there's a God. And today we talked about how many gods are there. And there's how many gods are there? There's one God. He's our God. And how many persons does he reveal himself in? How many persons is he? He's the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And next we're going to talk about the next recording, and when we come together we'll talk about what is God. What is God? And then in the future we'll talk about what is God like. What is he like? And then we'll talk about what is God called. What is God called? And he has lots of names. But what is God called according to our Bible, according to the Word of God? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Amen. All right. Well, you have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon and morning. Or wish I knew it was a morning or afternoon you was in. But anyway, the Lord bless you. And what fun it is to be around God's word. How rewarding it is. Talk to you on the next program, and I'll say bye-bye.